Happy Tuesday, Cyclone Nation. It's Chris Williams from up here in Ames. Just got done interviewing Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell. Of course, today's podcast brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. Fly that Cyclone flag. Big opportunity on Saturday to win their sixth Big 12 game, which has never been done in program history. Get on up here. They've got their Des Moines showroom, heartlandflags.com. Start thinking about Christmas time. Go ahead and support one of our great supporters, Heartland Flags. All right, here's my weekly conversation with Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell. I want to start, though. You kind of got asked about this briefly in your press conference today, and I'm really fascinated by the current, like where the NFL is going with offense. And it infuriates me, Matt, to watch. I've been a proponent of Patrick Mahomes before he even played at Texas Tech. I had seen his high school tapes, and I thought from day one this guy is going to be a stud in the NFL. He could be one of the greatest of all time. When I watch him put up 51 last night on Monday Night Football, it's all about how great he is and how great the offense is. When he played in the Big 12, it was all about how terrible the defense was in this league. So I guess the greater point, I'm not throwing shade or anything like that. I'm just curious about the transition that we're seeing in the National Football League and what you see. Because I see a lot of Big 12 roots, Art Briles, Dana Holgorsen, Mike Leach type stuff that on Sundays. Are you picking up on that?
Yeah, you know, I think it all starts with one position. It's the quarterback position. And, you know, you heard for, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, geez, there's no pro quarterbacks. And, you know, well, there are. There's great college quarterbacks. And I think what some of these coaches have done, you know, whether they're head coaching hires or offensive coordinator hires, has said, you know, instead of us saying this is the way we've always done it, which I think that's a league that's really, you know, lived there. Mm-hmm. We've always done it this way, and we're going to make you fit into the box. They've said, you know what, we're going to find out how we can do it better with what's out there. And, you know, I think that's what you see, the evolution of if guys scoring 50 points in pro football games today, because all of a sudden they said, you know, we're going to adapt to the Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, we're going to certainly adapt to Baker Mayfield, and we're going to put offenses that are around them. You know, Pittsburgh, I think, has been doing it for now, you know, 4 or 5 years with Roethlisberger. You know, they just understand that, you know, I think, what are these kids comfortable with? What are their tools, and let's adapt our knowledge around what they can do rather than trying to force them into mm-hmm. into a box that maybe doesn't fit. And, you know, I think now what you're seeing is the defenses that, you know, kind of what happened in college football. You know, 10 years ago they weren't built to stop the spread offense, and now you're going to see that transition have to occur in, you know, in the professional level, where how do you play against these spread offenses?
So I have a theory, and I was kind of bloviating about this last night. Sage Rosenfels was actually on, and we were comparing the modern day RPO with the triple option back when, you know, Tommy Frazier was running it and those type of deals. So I have a theory. I was watching Alabama and the Citadel from my hotel room before your game on Saturday in Austin, and I watched Army and Oklahoma this year. I've thought for a long time that some of these programs at the bottom of these leagues would be very wise to hire a young triple option coach because of the very adjustments that defense have to make. It works more in college because there's a difference between – in the NFL, it would never work because the teams are all fairly similar when it comes to talent. Do you think that could work at the college level? And do you think now that pretty much everybody's running some variation of the spread, we're going to start to see some a reemergence of an option type of offense?
Well, I think, number one, yes. I mean, I think it's why Army's relevant right now. I think mm-hmm. top 20, I saw they're in the top 25 for the first time in so many years. And I think why Navy has always been a factor in the college football scene for the last 10 to 12 years. But I also think the reality of it is you can look at our own conference, and it used to be, you know, spread this, spread that. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, there's some good backs in the conference mm-hmm. and offensive line, and people are running the ball. And, you know, I think the reality of it is we know football's a cyclical game.
Yeah.
It always goes in cycles. And, you know, when you want to play small people in football games to match speed, you know, well, what's your mindset offensively? Get big people on the field. Well, once they get big people on the field, you want to have big people to match up against those. So I think football will always be a matchup game, and how do you try to create those matchups in different ways? And I think certainly what you're talking about schematically makes a lot of sense.
It's fascinating to me. I love that aspect of it. I thought you're going to have less miles in your conference next year. I was harping for the last 2 weeks that Kansas should bring in a triple option guy, because I just Paul Johnson, every team he coaches is always relevant. It doesn't matter if he's at Navy, if it's at Georgia Tech. Anyways, we can. This is a summer conversation for us. It's just been on the back of my mind. Iowa State, you had the tough loss to Texas over the weekend. How have the guys responded since you got back from Austin?
You know, I think our kids, especially, it means the world to them. And anytime you win or you lose, I think our kids have been able to learn from it. And, you know, obviously a great environment, a game that, you know, a lot of emotion, a lot of physicality within it. But I think the thing that I love about this team, and I've said this a couple times, for the last 10 and a half months, this group's never disappointed me. And in terms of their preparation, their detail, their 1-2. And, you know, I saw that early on this week. You know, this group's come back with a purpose. You know, obviously Saturday means a lot to a lot of kids in our program. We're going to have 18 seniors that are going to go through senior day. You got, an opportunity to play against a team and an opponent that's really had Iowa State's number for over the last 10 years. And, you know, really over the history of the last 20 years has really had a big impact on the success or failures of Iowa State football. And so, you know, I think our kids understand that, and, you know, what another great opportunity for this team to continue to tell its story.
Are you familiar with how excruciating some of the losses to Kansas State have been over the years? I know you know the streaks. Like, has an Iowa Stater, an old-timer, gone through some of the ways that this program has lost to Kansas State?
No, but unfortunately...
You were in one of them last year.
Unfortunately, living it a year ago and feeling that, I got a pretty good understanding of it and a pretty good feel. But, you've heard that, and you've heard that story. And I think the reality for us is, you know, sitting in that locker room a year ago, you know what it felt like. And I think a lot of that pain's been brought on equally by ourselves.
Absolutely.
And
no question.
I think those are things that we've really tried to lay the foundation on, not pointing the finger anywhere other than ourselves and saying, what do we have to do to continue to win close games and games in those situations? So I think another great opportunity this week.
I really liked that. I do want to give you props, and I thought that your players did that on Saturday. I won't name names or put you on the spot. There have been times in the last couple of years where I felt like you guys have beaten somebody and the opposing coach takes that time to point fingers at his team instead of giving the other team credit. I really liked how you and your guys came out on Saturday night, and Texas played a really good game. You know, it was a really good team. And I don't know, this whole greater culture thing that we're always talking about, and for an outsider, you don't really exactly know what that is, what happens inside of the walls. But I could see that bleeding through to your players, I thought, on Saturday night, because you came right out to the press and you said, we got our butts kicked, basically. And I thought that really emulated through your guys as well. I don't even know what the question is here, Coach, but I appreciated that. I thought that put off a good vibe for your program.
Well, I think number one, being honest with our kids is really important. And, you know, we went into the game knowing that it was going to be a physical football game. And I thought, you know, the most physical team for four quarters was a team that's going to have the ability to win it. And, you know, the reality was they were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can sugarcoat it. You can say mistakes. I thought our kids played really hard. I thought, you know, some of our young puppies played like puppies. And, you know, some of their older veterans played like veterans. And, you know, but at the end of it, I thought, you know, I was really proud of our kids' effort, and I thought our kids kept fighting and playing, but they were the better team on last Saturday night, and you tip your hat to them. You figure out what you need to do to continue to get to that level to be that team in that moment. But, you know, it's part of the sport, and it's part of growing.
Well, I speak for tens of thousands of listeners right now who are probably driving home from work. Go out and slay that demon on Saturday. I'm telling you, the Kansas State game, like, I know people want to beat Iowa. There's many hurdles that Iowa State has crossed since you got here. The Kansas State one, I mean, it just drives people crazy. Because, Iowa State hasn't lost to Kansas State. Iowa State has, like, been neutered by Kansas State in horrific ways. I'll never forget the 2015 game and just the way that went down. So no pressure. Best of luck on Saturday.
Yeah, I've heard no pressure, best of luck a lot over the last couple months. So we'll keep plugging away. But I appreciate it. We appreciate everybody's support and look forward to seeing everybody Saturday.
All right, he's Matt Campbell.